Welcome back to another edition of the Mindset Entrepreneur video podcast. We're thrilled to have you back. I'm here with my very special guest, Jennifer Davis Kane, President of Human Resources Solutions. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Ma.
Now, Jennifer happens to be a big football fan. So before we get into anything, you know, about her entrepreneurial passions, Jennifer, can you give us a little bit of an outlook on the Patriots this season? Let us know what we can expect.
Oh, boy. I was really concerned at first because there was a lot of uncertainty with the transition in head coaches in different areas. But after the first game, I think we're looking pretty good.
All right. So you're feeling more confident now.
Yes, I am.
Okay. And do you think the dissension between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick is going to go away?
Yes, because they're professionals.
Okay.
They'll make it work.
Spoken like a true human resource professional there, ladies and gentlemen. That's great stuff. So, Jennifer, I have to say, I know before we get into your company, Human Resource Solutions, I also know you're the HR director for the New England Zoo.
Zoo New England.
And what an irony, you know, HR, the industry, is a zoo as it is, and now you're actually at a zoo.
I'm at a zoo, and one of my favorite lines is, it's a zoo out there.
And are the animals hard to keep under control in the HR world at the zoo?
Oh, no, they're a gem to work with.
They're probably the easiest to work with, right? Oh, boy. So Jennifer, I guess I really wanted to start today. Whenever we have entrepreneurs on the show, I really like to explore your why and your passion. I would love to know kind of what took you through the path, down the path of getting involved in HR.
Well, to be honest with you, it was a very unexpected journey for me. I was the personnel assistant at Boston Medical Center.
Okay.
Years ago. A very unexpected position for me. I was not expecting to be the personnel assistant. I actually transferred from a doctor's office to that position. And there was one moment when I was looking at resumes, and I look at them on a daily basis, and I saw that there was one person who was applying for a lab position. And looking at her resume, I said, there's got to be something more to this. I was able to discern that she had experience that wasn't on her job application. So I called her and asked her for her resume, and it turned out she did have the background and the experience to be qualified for that position. Lo and behold, she provided me with the information. I saw that she had the experience. She interviewed for the job, and she got the position.
So let me ask you, Jennifer, you know, being in HR requires such a diverse skill set to begin with. But what I want to ask you is, it's a fascinating story to me because it really shows the early stages of your career and recognizing people's potential. And so what I want to ask you is, do you feel that being intuitive and recognizing people's skills and characteristics has been a quality you've had over the course of your life? Is it something you've developed? What would you say?
I would think it comes with development within the job. And I think you have to want to have that intuition to read between the lines and to see talent that's not spoken, but you know it's there just from either looking at someone's information, having a conversation with them. It's really a skill set that develops over the years.
So do you think the recognition, either internally or externally from that experience of having that play out, was that kind of a big motivator for you to see, like, darn, I know how to do this. I know what I'm doing here.
I love the fact that I can make a difference in someone's life. I love the fact that I can look at someone and see the value in what they do and know that there's more behind what they say.
So, Jennifer, that's a fascinating comment. What is it in HR? When you talk about value, it's a real big word. What is it that you think employers in many cases miss when assessing or determining someone's value?
It's so funny because I think that employers really need to understand that what they see on paper is not the only thing they should be looking for. Mm. I think in this industry, in today's industry, no matter what you're doing, you need someone who's going to be a team player. You need someone who's going to understand the culture of your institution. You need someone who's going to fill those holes in your position or the job that is not in the job description. So the value that someone can bring to an organization is beyond what they put on the resume. It's beyond what they put on the job application. it's a skill set that you might need that you maybe don't even know you need.
So if you were to assess priorities, if you were hiring for your company and you were looking at things like their education, their skills, their how they fit into the culture, background, what are the first, if you had to only pick one or two things and said, boy, if I could only pick one or two things that I would hire, what do you think they would be? What jumps to the top of your list?
I would say integrity.
And how do you define integrity?
I think when you have someone who's going to do what's best for the team, for the organization, regardless of the political, the political stigma.
Regardless of their own agenda, right?
Exactly. It makes a big difference.
But Jennifer, how can you evaluate that before you hire someone? I mean, I'm with you. Like, that'd be on the top of my core value list, too. But how can you vet that out before you hire?
You know, I think the interview process is more than just that one meeting with someone. You know, you can take them out to lunch if they're a top candidate. You can get to know them on a more personal level, if you will. You can ask them questions that are pertinent to your organization, your mission, and your goals.
It's funny, you just said something there I really had never thought of before, and that is the typical culture of a job interview is actually at the facility or at the office. And when you get someone out in a more relaxed environment, they're much more likely to show their hand, so to speak.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want them to be comfortable because you really need to hear what they're saying.
Yep. And I think it's one of those things, Jennifer, where people don't talk a lot about core values, but if you learn someone's core values, it tells you so much.
Definitely.
And if they say they don't have any,
then you're in big trouble.
Then you're in big trouble, right? So I want to talk, Jennifer, a little bit about the courage you've shown. You know, you've been working in HR. Your experience and expertise in HR is well documented. But, you know, 5 years ago, you woke up one morning and said, you know what? I'm going to do this on my own.
I know.
How did that happen? What propelled that courage?
You know, it's so funny because you think about your career. You think about the job that you have working for another employer. And then you really have to think about what's going to happen afterwards. And I like HR. I love what I do. I enjoy the fact that there are so many avenues underneath the umbrella of HR. I really wanted to continue this journey of working in HR. If you look at HR, you have employment law, you have benefits administration, you have employee relations, and you have workers' compensation, and in some places you have payroll administration.
I'm getting stressed out just listening to you. It's a lot of things I got to worry about there.
But I love the focus that HR puts and administers for businesses. I think, you know, one of our main jobs is to make sure that the business keeps most of the resources that it earns. And if your HR functions are not in place, you're spending those resources on employment law issues, employee relations issues, workers' compensation issues. So are you really earning the revenue that you work so hard to earn as a company?
So I think you just brought up a good example. Let's talk about employment law for a moment. And I can say that I don't think that's a really exciting topic for many businesses.
Yes.
And I would imagine, you correct me if I'm wrong, I would imagine more often than not, it tends to be a very reactive topic as opposed to a proactive topic. So if you're a business owner and you have people working for you, and you were to say to them, or they're watching today, and they're saying, hey, boy, I wonder if I'm up to speed on employment law. We tend to worry about things more out of fear. So what are some of the things that small businesses should be thinking about when it comes to employment law? Because it's more than putting up some posters on the wall, right?
That's right.
That's a start.
That's a start.
That's a start. But what is it that if you're not sure, and I don't want you to be like the media and scare people, but what is the, you know, sure they should, well, you better be sure because such and such could happen.
Yes, I think from the moment the employee steps into the door, that's when employment law takes effect. As a matter of fact, I'll go back to the interview process. any person that you are considering for a position, you have to make sure that your application and interview process meets employment law standards.
Equal opportunity.
Equal opportunity. You have to make sure that your questions are appropriate for the position. Mm. You have to make sure that your job application does not ask any questions that are not appropriate, just not legal.
So let's say, Jennifer, I'm listening to this today, and I'm going, you know, she's got a point there. And I'm going, but boy, I don't even know, where do I begin? Could you share with the audience, when you start to work with a customer, do you do an initial audit of some kind to assess where the holes might be? And I'm not, look, I know you do a lot more than employment law, so I don't want to pigeonhole you, but we're just right. using this as an example.
Yes.
How does the beginning work so the person gauges what kind of project this is going to look like?
Gotcha. That's a good question. So I want to know what they do first, because I can't give them advice until I see their processes.
Okay.
So we will go through the whole process of bringing onboarding of an employee so that I can see where they're in compliance and where they're not in compliance.
Okay.
And I think it's easier for them to see where they need to be in compliance when they understand what they're doing is not appropriate.
But what if they said to you, Jennifer, I mean, that makes sense. That sounds like a very efficient and appropriate process. But what if they said, it's okay, you know, with a slim chance something that we missed a beat, so, you know, maybe they're calling me on it. Like, what could be the consequences in this case?
So I think to tell them that the average lawsuit is about $10,000 to settle, if that doesn't wake them up, I don't know what will. I really don't know what will. I think when you understand that for every violation, there is a potential cost, and the remedy is to make sure that you're not in violation of state and federal laws. It's not just one avenue, it's both. So you have to make sure that you're in compliance on the state level as well as the federal level.
So you're a proactive resource.
I'm a proactive resource.
Proactive
and
resource.
It doesn't cost to be proactive. I think that's what a lot of employees need to understand.
So I know another area, Jennifer, that you really help your clients is in the area of employee morale. So could you talk a little bit about how you offer solutions? And I want to tell our audience, what's really cool about what Human Resources Solutions does is they are a one-stop shop for online resources. They have a web portal where people have access to virtually everything they need related to HR. So if you could kind of share your thoughts on that.
I think employee morale is so important. I think employees need to really understand that their employee base, that's their PR, that's their brand. You have employees walking around your institution celebrating who you are as an organization. Your culture should be inviting, not only to people coming into your institution, but for the people who actually work at your institution.
So what does your company do to address this? If a company comes to you and says, we do have employee morale issues, how do you help?
So what I would recommend they do is to take a good look at what they would like the morale to be. And take a good look at anything in their organization that doesn't meet the standards of what they feel the morale or the culture of their institution should be. And it doesn't take a lot to turn the employee morale around. If you have a younger population, it might look different than if you had an older population. You have to be able to meet the needs of your employees. Some benefits that the younger millennials want, the older individuals, the seasoned individuals may not care for. If you have a population of both, you have to satisfy both populations.
So Jennifer, when it comes to companies and how they evaluate HR as a cost center, it tends to be something that kind of falls short, you know, very often. So I think that as you're working with, I know you work with some clients that do have an HR department, some clients that don't have an HR department. So what, are you kind of a, if they do have an HR department, are you a supplement to kind of what they have and how does that work?
Yes. So we are there to support that HR person. You don't want to reinvent the wheel. So at the HR Support Center, we have a library of job descriptions. We have a library of policies and procedures. We have two-minute trainings on the most frequent employment law topics. So we're there to give you the additional help that you need so that you can concentrate on getting your day-to-day work done. Mm. We're there to help you make the right decision the first time. We're there so that if you have a question, you're not going all over the web to find out the resources to answer those questions. So we support you. We supplement what you do, and then we give you support so that you can do what you do better.
And I know you're also one of the many hats you're wearing these days is I know you're the Career Center Executive Director for Ethnic Online Magazine, and I know you're using your expertise to educate people. You're writing articles on best practices and things like that. How did that come about?
Yes, that it's so funny because I met Leonard Webb, who is the founder of Ethnic Online, at a career center, and he was looking for ethnic talent. I think a lot of companies out there don't know the right resources to go to when they're looking for ethnic talent. And he and I met because we're really trying to do kind of the same thing. We're trying to introduce organizations to ethnic talent. So I was charged with being his executive director for his career center. And one of the things I tried to do is talk about the things and the places that people can go to find ethnic talent. I was there to help anybody in HR that was a subscriber of his magazine with their HR needs and give them best practices so that their organization was a welcoming place for ethnic talent.
Outstanding. Last question, Jennifer, before we wrap up. What would be some advice you would give companies who are struggling in the area of HR if you were to say, boy, if nothing else, make sure you do blank? What would be some general advice you would give to them?
I would say, if nothing else, make sure you're open to change. Because everything is changing. The employment laws are changing as we speak. The Me Too movement has made just the sexual harassment policies in the workplace more relevant and more prevalent. So you have to be open to change.
You know what, Jennifer, I was driving along the Mass Pike yesterday and I saw a bumper sticker, and if I could have snapped a picture of it, I would. It said, minds only work when they're open. And I was like, God bless America. I said, that is, I could deal with that all day long. So Jennifer Davis Kane, Human Resources Solutions, please reach out. Never hurts to have a conversation. And I think with Jennifer's expertise, 20 years of expertise, she could certainly guide you in the right direction at minimum. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's been a pleasure being here.
So thank you for joining us for the Mindset Entrepreneur video podcast. Thanks to my partner, DaVideo Company, for we wouldn't be anywhere without them and putting this show on. So we will see you next time.